Oh yeah, your favorite boys are back on the air. As you can see, I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver. And what's up?
Welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. And Kyle, it's August now, and football's starting to ramp up. Training camp is fully underway. Very excited, honestly. The more videos I see, the more excited I keep getting. You know, we laughed at Dak Prescott because we keep seeing him throw interceptions.
All through training camp. And then the man says he's going to have less than 10. Oh, man. Oh, Dak.
Hey, look, side note right there. I wasn't even going to, like, start off with this. but honestly, if, like I said before, if they don't have Zach Martin, they're not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to put that out there.
Nowhere.
But what I really wanted to get off to was this whole thing going on in Indianapolis with the Colts and Jonathan Taylor. So yeah. Jonathan Taylor, it was 2 years ago, he was the NFL leading rusher. He was the reason why everyone talked about the Colts. He was the reason why I personally would watch the Colts because I love Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. He felt like he should get an extension. He felt like he should get, you know, a little more money. The owner, Jim Irsay, said no. And basically told him to
kick rocks.
Yeah, basically. So I'm gonna break it down. So last week, you know, Jonathan Taylor made a trade request. Then on Saturday, it got publicized. Mm-hmm. Owner says that we won't trade him. Okay, cool. Granted, whatever. That happens. And then Sunday, Colts say that they were reportedly placing Jonathan Taylor on a non-football injury list, saying that he messed up his back away from the team. Then JT goes on social media and says, that did not happen. Like, I don't have a back injury.
There's nothing wrong with his back.
Yeah.
So, like, there's some shady things going on in that Colts organization right now, man.
Bro, that's
like, it's weird. And then how are you, as I'll let you get into it a little bit more, but how are you as Jim Irsay going to go out, you know, while you guys are, you know what I'm saying, training, and we got reporters going after you, like, you know what I mean? And you got reporters interviewing you, and you're like, well, basically, if me and him weren't here, we were both. If I was dead and he wasn't in the league would still go on. You can't say that about your star running back,
exactly.
About your star player.
Correct.
That makes the Colts the Colts.
I'm pretty sure he's basically the one that he sells the most jerseys on that team now.
Of course,
like,
he does.
You know what I mean? Like he's had a lot of memorable runs for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to say that about your star guy, about your guy that goes out there every day, puts himself on the line, to say that about him, you know, it's just one of those things where you can't even really put it into words because it's like, why would you even dare to say something like that?
And it goes back to what we were talking about last weekend, 2 weeks ago, just about the running back market as a whole.
Yeah, the whole offseason, like,
there's no care in the world for running backs.
No.
It just went from Saquon to now Jonathan Taylor,
yeah. And Jim Irsay, like, you know, all the other owners haven't, like, said anything crazy about mm-hmm. it, and which they didn't have to because everybody understands the market. Yeah. But for Jim Irsay to come in and say that about his star player, knowing that you just drafted a rookie quarterback, too, in Anthony Richardson,
mm-hmm.
that is supposed to be, you know, that from what I'm hearing from sources saying that he's taking first-team reps and stuff like that. So if he's taking first-team reps and you have an all-pro running back in Jonathan Taylor, you would kind of concern yourself and be like, okay, well, hopefully I would hope that he's, like, somewhat happy. I know I can't give him this extension right now, mm-hmm. or I'm choosing not to, or whatever that is, but I would hope that he is at least happy enough to, you know, that he's still here, that he's still gonna, you know, help the young guys learn, that he's still, you know, gonna lead my team.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, do I even want to, like, be here? Like, what's happening?
I can't explain it. I don't have the answer for that. I really don't. And I wish I did, but I don't. Because there's no reason to come out publicly and say that.
Right.
And then when your star running back, when he wants to leave and
you
won't even grant his wish, and then you put him on a non-football
related injury when he doesn't even have an injury.
And he's coming out saying, like, that's things are not adding up. Things are just not adding up. I'm not a fan of the Colts organization right now and how they're handling this.
Because even I seen that report and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I ask for more money when I know I'm injured?
Why would you ask for a contract extension? Knowing you had a back problem.
That you had a back problem, exactly.
That makes no sense.
So, yeah, that didn't add up at all. So, whoever the Colts PR team is, it needs to be fired, in my opinion.
That's bad faith, in my opinion. That's real bad faith.
That's horrible everything. That's horrible PR. That's horrible everything. Like, no one knew how to control this substance. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's going to be looking at you like you're dumb. So, look, man, I don't know. Put more respect on those boys' names. That's all I can say. Put more respect on those boys' names.
They are the catalyst that makes the team run. Put some respect on them.
They make good quarterbacks look great. Yes. I put it to you like that.
Like, and that's the only reason why you have a running back, to protect your quarterback.
But look, I digress. Let's see, we got other things going on in the league. You know, Dalvin Cook. Well, Dalvin Cook signed with the Jets. From what I'm hearing, he wasn't like overly excited.
He wasn't in a rush
to sign a contract or whatever. I know he also had an invitation to go to New England.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how that would be. But for right now, from the looks of it, the three teams that is looking like he might go to is either the Patriots, the Jets, or the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins, obviously, because he's from down in that area. The Jets, because why not play with Aaron Rodgers, and then the Patriots.
That requires a little bit more explanation for me.
I'm guessing maybe so because there's no other running back out there, mm-hmm. like over there. You know what I mean? It's the same thing in Miami too, but also, I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Jets or Dolphins are his two best options.
Yeah.
And will the Jets go through with it? Who knows? I don't know. I think I low-key could see Miami doing it first before him going to Miami versus him going to the Jets. Just because we talked about it before, they got Breece Hall. You got another running back, another stud in the running back position. You got Aaron Rodgers. Like, you know, they'll be okay without him, in my opinion.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine regardless. You know, Breece Hall is still coming back from that ACL mm-hmm. injury, so that'll take him like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
but... Yeah, no, other than that, they will, yeah, like, they're not going anywhere, like, anytime soon,
No.
Yeah, no, so, because they got guys, like you said, got Breece Hall, they got Travis Dye, mm-hmm. who was from Oregon, who's pretty good, Michael Carter, who's done his thing. So, yeah, no, they have like, a good amount of running backs right now, so adding on to that with Dalvin Cook, somebody's going to have to get pushed off, someone's going to have to get waived and put onto the practice squad or something like that, but... You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, no, that's going to be something to look out for.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Because that would be huge if he does indeed go to the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But moving on, we got basketball. So the NBA decided to send out a memo about Dame and him only wanting to play for Miami. And basically his agent calling up all of the 29 teams and telling them, you know, or 28 teams, excuse me, and telling them, you know, if you trade for him, he's not going to be happy. So what do you think about, you know, so basically I'm going to read, I don't even have like what they put in there, but I'm going to read a little bit of what it is. So any player or his agent making public comments indicating they won't fully perform the services called for under his player contract in the event of a trade will be subject to discipline.
So,
it's weird for me because it's like,
it's weird to hear this
like
right now.
AD did the same thing. I mean, he got fined for it, but whatever. Like AD did the same thing, and so did KD, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So why all of a sudden, because Dame does it.
Wants to do it.
And because, you know what I mean? Like, because I guess because Miami doesn't have the trade assets or because, you know, you want to make the league more exciting, mm-hmm. you know. But at the end of the day, if that's, you know, if Dame just wants to go there, then Dame just wants to go there. Dame has every right to do so.
Every right to do so. And you want to talk about, like, somebody that should have a no-trade clause? Damian Lillard is that person. Because we seen Bradley Beal. That man just went to Phoenix.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Horrible management by Washington at that time.
And so that same argument could be made for Dame Lillard.
Right.
And how... He should have this no-trade clause, and he should be able to choose where he wants to go. Portland should have gave him that opportunity. And then for the NBA to come out and, you know, his agent saying that, you know, The NBA, I'm reading what quote from ESPN. NBA said in a memo that Goodwin is Damian Lillard's agent. Denied stating or indicating that to any team that Lillard would refuse to play for them. It went on to say that relevant teams provided descriptions of their communications with Goodwin that were mostly, though not entirely, consistent with Goodwin's statement to us. So if you my thing is, you pay your agent to go out and make deals for you.
Correct.
And for him to go and call these other 28 teams and say to these teams, if he really did do that, because there's reports saying that he really didn't, and Dame is like, he didn't really do this, but you should. I'm so iffy on it because it's not the right thing to do, and it's also, you're putting bad name on Damian Lillard by saying he's not even going to play for you guys, right, or he won't want to, or he's not going to fulfill his contract.
And the thing is, he didn't say that, like, even if that's what that was the report was, they never even said that
he wouldn't
play. They just said he would be unhappy.
Unhappy.
So, unhappy means I'll still be here, but I'm not happy.
I'm not happy.
That's literally what that means. I never said I wasn't going to play.
The thing is, but then at that point, why would you even trade for an unhappy player that doesn't want to be in your organization?
Correct.
Get him to where he wants to go.
Everybody and his mom know where he wants to go. He said it the first day.
And if you're Portland, you need to do whatever possible to fulfill that for Damian Lillard.
Exactly.
Because he has meant so much to you as an organization that it's time to pay him back.
Yeah.
It's time to give him some good faith back.
Yeah, like,
because he's
done nothing but greatness for you guys. And I understand, you know, like, Portland is looking at it, well, you know, like, we have to get our lick back too. I understand that, but you guys have to understand, you guys didn't do anything to put yourself in a better position.
Exactly.
Than you guys are already in.
The man said,
who in the world signs a almost max contract for Jeremy Grant?
Exactly. And then, yo, Dame said he was like, he wants vets, you know, during the offseason. They went out and they got Scoot, and then that was the only deal that we've heard.
Exactly. And then after that, and then what happened during the free agent signing period? Everybody else on the other team started doing what they had to do. Lakers started to re-up. Who else on the West was starting to re-up? Even Golden State had to sign, like, Chris Paul or somebody.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Sacramento made sure that they got their extensions in order and made sure that they got their team back in order. Everybody basically on the West that was in the playoffs last year is literally looking like, all right, well, we're going to do this again.
Right back here again.
And basically what Dame was trying to figure out is Portland going to put their hat in the ring for that? And the answer was no, basically. Once they drafted Scoot Henderson and there was no other deal out there for them, they drafted Scoot Henderson, they signed Jeremy Grant, and those were the two biggest things that happened to them.
That's it.
As a Portland fan, I even would have been like, bro, Dame, just leave. Even I would have been like, just leave.
Yes,
like, please.
I agree.
Like, I will pay you to leave.
We want to talk about doing something for Dame. They should have went out and tried to get Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Like, they should have threw the book at him.
Yeah, I would have done that at some. Yeah,
because at least that shows Dame, like, all right, like, let's go.
Like we're doing something.
Like, yeah. Now we got two superstars. Like, let's go do something now. Maybe you still could have got Scoot. Maybe you would have got rid of him. But it's still, at the same time, you would have had a two-man tandem that could have rocked the NBA. Bradley Beal is a stud. Like, that man is so skilled as a basketball player.
He's
so smart.
That's another 30 points per game right there.
Exactly.
Next to another 30 points per game.
Which they need, and they're missing.
Yeah, no, so I don't understand it. At the end of the day, I don't understand it. I understand, you know, they don't see, like, a lot of trade value with Miami just head-on for those two head-to-head. But, you know, look, I pray that they figure out something by September when training camp starts for them.
I just want to, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as Dame says he wants to leave, I see reports now that it's saying a deal could take months to complete.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, why does it feel like these other NBA stars are able to get deals done so quickly?
Right.
Like, again, Bradley Beal, that was like a week maybe.
Yeah, if that.
If that.
It was the same thing for KD in the middle of the season.
Like, it happens so quick. Those type of trades we've seen can happen in the blink of an eye. And you can't do the same for Dame. Like, I understand that goes back to what is Portland asking for then from Miami if that's where he wants to go.
Right.
And what is Miami willing and not willing to give up?
Correct. Because what... Portland has to understand, in my opinion, what they have to look in the face is, like, y'all not going to contend with anybody. No. I don't care who y'all get.
No.
I don't care who you guys get. You're not going to sit there and contend with anybody. So what you should do is you should trade Dame. Trade Dame for as much as you can get him, which I do agree with. But you should also fall under the umbrella of, look, we're not going to be able to make no noise anytime soon.
Not within the next, like, 2 to 3 years, no. Like, now exactly. You start rebuilding now.
Correct. We got guys that need to grow. Mm-hmm. They need to learn. You know, we'll try to find whatever vest that we can, you know, for whatever price that we can get them for. Mm-hmm. And we're going to let it rock out like that. Because otherwise, other than that, you're trying to dig for fool's gold. And it's not going to happen. You're not just going to come up on, like, some mega lottery player. No, it's not happening.
Not in that. Nobody wants to go to Portland. It's not that type of market.
No.
You're not going to get a big name brand star.
Exactly. Trust me. Dame has tried.
Exactly. For years. For years. And don't nobody want to go there. Trust. So maybe because it's always raining in Oregon or something. Who knows?
I don't know. The only reason why I would go up there is just because the Nike factory up there.
Pretty much.
I ain't got nothing else for that. Ain't got nothing else for me.
Oh, man.
But, speaking of Oregon. So, Tuesday when I was doing prep for this show, this was before ESPN had dropped anything.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen something online. It was according to Barstool Sports, Jack McGuire. There was rumors saying that Clemson, Florida State, Oregon, and Washington could join the Big Ten. Come to Wednesday, it looks like Oregon and Washington are two new teams that could be joining the Big Ten. Now, the ACC, Florida State has says that they are doing, you know, diligence. They're, like, looking into, you know, possibly moving out of the conference, but it's more so, like, revenue. Like, you know, money revenue would have to be, out of this world.
The TV revenue. That's really what this is based off of.
Yeah. That's the reason why the Pac-12 is literally dying right now.
Because
they just lost USC and UCLA. Mm-hmm. They're coming to the Big Ten next year. Okay? So let's put that under wraps. Now they're losing Colorado. Colorado's going to go to the Big 12. You know, dude just sitting there mad. I remember, the Oregon head coach was sitting there mad. Oh, what has Colorado done? Colorado ain't done nothing, and that's fine. But guess what? The Deion Sanders effect is real.
They are riding that Deion Sanders way right now.
I don't care. Every coach in America right now hates him, but guess what? I love him. He could be here.
Deion Sanders can't do no wrong by me.
I'll be his player any day of the week.
Like, no,
are you kidding me?
I would love it.
Are you kidding me? The hype that he has is just is who he is. He has that hype. He has that aura about him.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be mad at it all you want to, but then it's funny how the Oregon head coach won't be mad about it. And then after that, next thing you know, your school's be putting into rumors about you moving anyway, mm-hmm, to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I mean. So you don't have much to talk about, in my opinion.
Honestly, no. Like, now what? You got the Pac-12 is down to 9 teams.
It's about to be down to 7 if Oregon and Washington leave.
And that's, at that point, you got to get rid of the conference.
So check this out, right? So if you go to ESPN right now, go to the, if you go on the app right now, you go to the NCAA football tab.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the first week. So the first week is technically called week 0 because it's that first Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's August 26th. August 26th, if I'm not mistaken. It's that first Saturday of college football, technically.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the game of, I think it's San Jose State and USC. You go underneath the time at 8 o'clock, and underneath that time it says Pac-12. That's the network that they play on. Who do you know has the Pac-12 network?
Absolutely nobody.
Exactly. Don't worry. I'll wait.
Didn't take long because I don't know anybody.
You don't know anybody.
Like, nobody.
No, exactly. It's a waste of time.
Unless you're actually out there and you're a diehard college football fan, unless you're out in Washington and Oregon or whoever else, or those other 7 teams that are there.
And I'm a diehard football fan, but let me tell you something. I do not have Pac-12.
I'm not going to get Pac-12 either.
No. Unless it comes with, like, an ESPN package or a CBS package or NBC.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
If you're not coming with one of the packages, then no. So, it didn't make any sense why that was there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that, you know, you got teams like the Big Ten playing on ESPN and stuff like that.
Big 12, they got new ESPN Fox deal. Mm-hmm. Like, so think about what that's going to bring in for Colorado now that they're about to leave and what? Like this season or like at the end of this season, because that Pac-12 deal with, you know, the TV deal is going to expire. So think about it. Like, they're going to break in so much bread off of the first year alone.
Yeah, the Pac-12 was dismantled.
Honestly, and I'm going to be honest, I actually kind of like that. Simply because you're kind of like condensing all of the conferences. I think there's too many.
You think there's too many? Here's going to be the problem, because I was just talking about this with the program director, Jack. Here's going to be the problem. A team like Rutgers, who you know what I mean, who's in the middle of the pack to the low end of the mm-hmm. conference already, mm-hmm. and then now, we already got USC and UCLA coming in next year. We're already struggling to try to meet the 6-win requirement for a bowl game. And then now I got two more juggernauts that I got to deal with. I think, if I'm not mistaken, UCLA comes here next year, mm-hmm. and then we go to USC next year. And then the year after that, it flip-flops around. So that's going to be the real problem for the smaller teams, the teams that are still trying to fit their footprint yes. in these big time conferences. Mm-hmm. Rutgers is getting the short end of the stick right now. Mm-hmm. And that's my biggest worry right now.
Understandable.
And that's the reason why I don't like it. Also, selfishly, I don't like it because it means less conference championships, because that conference championship week is like everything mm-hmm. to me. Like, mm-hmm. I kid you not, that whole weekend, Friday night, I'm sitting there watching Pac-12. Then literally all day Saturday, don't even call me. Don't call me. Don't ask me to do nothing unless it has something to do with watching college football.
Yes.
Because that whole Saturday, I'm watching the Big 12 championship. I'm watching the AAC championship. I'm watching the SEC championship. I'm watching the Big 10 championship and the ACC championship all in one day. Yes, I do all of that. If you don't know, ask my parents.
he does. I will do it, and
I will watch all four screens at one time.
Yes.
And I promise you, I won't get dizzy. And I will know exactly what's happening on each and every single one of those screens. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that is where I say the fan in me is kind of disappointed in that. But also, it's a lot more excitement because it is a lot more competition.
That's what I was just about to say. The fan in me is going to force Rutgers to do things that they wouldn't normally do as a smaller school. And it's going to force them to be better now that you got these juggernauts. Mm-hmm. So now think about how good it's going to feel, though, when these juggernauts come in. And let's say you could catch one. You could maybe catch two. Think about how that's going to feel for Rutgers.
Yeah. That is true. Especially with, you know, like we said, especially with teams like Oregon and Washington possibly coming in. You know, if Clemson does mess around and come in and Florida State.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, we're talking about a different thing.
I just got goosebumps. I got goosebumps if Clemson were to leave like that. I got goosebumps. Because that's insane.
Last night I was just explaining to one of my boys how basically the Big Ten works in their divisions. I'm like, dude, the more than likely the division, the winner of the conference is coming out of the Big Ten.
Oh, yes.
Coming out of the East.
Yes.
Because the East, I'll name the top three right now, is either going to be Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State. Those are the top three in the East, and they always finish in that top three. Mm-hmm. They never fall off. Mm-hmm. On the other side, maybe Iowa, maybe Purdue, Northwestern once upon a time, we won't see them for probably the next 10-15 years after this whole craziness going on with them.
They're out the window right now.
If we're really being honest, if a team needs to drop, it's got to be them.
Yeah.
Sorry to say that, but yes, let's be truthful. If a team needs to drop, it's going to be them. But yeah, no, like it's literally just a Big Ten East. So yeah, maybe having those teams come in and filling in the Big Ten West might be mm-hmm. Might be something good. You know, mm-hmm. You never know, though. You never know. But yeah, no, there's just the movements and the alignments.
It feels like it's a mess right now.
Yo,
honestly,
this is like,
and we got like 2-3 weeks before the college season starts.
This is a transfer portal for school.
Like, no, no, like for real.
I thought the transfer portal was crazy with players. Like, this is worse.
This is way worse. You're talking about moving whole conferences. What?
Y'all think I'm confused watching multiple teams on the screen? I'm confused on what conference is gonna be like who's gonna be in what conference. I'm sitting there. I'm looking at the what's it called? So I'm looking at the Big 12. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait a minute. When the hell did BYU and UCF get in there?
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought about UCF. I was like, wait a minute. This something ain't right.
I was like, UCF. How did they get that money? But also that was because of Scott Frost when he was down there at that time.
Yes.
And they made themselves a pretty good powerhouse. So I can't lie,
UCF
they're pretty good.
That's a tough team. Yeah.
But yeah,
great
they're basically replacing Texas and Oklahoma when they move into the SEC next year.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, this is something that got way out of hand, way you know,
quicker
than I thought it
would. No, most definitely. Because I didn't see all these moves coming.
Because once I seen like Texas and Oklahoma, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you need that, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, because for the longest time, you know, they were the only two in the Big 12 that was really gonna make any noise. You know, Oklahoma over the time when they had, you know, Lincoln Riley and Bob Stoops and all of that. So, you know, that made sense. And then, you know, Texas, where, you know, when they had, Mack Brown as the coach and Vince Young, you know, they had their time. You know, eventually you're going to get to a point where it's like, all right, well, we need someone harder.
Yes.
We need like more
competition.
We need steady competition because then the Big 12 is very wary. Like
it is.
Last year
it
was
really
TCU.
Is. Yeah.
You know, any year it could be Baylor. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be Texas Tech. You never know when they could fall upon another, you know, Patrick Mahomes like they did before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was one of the biggest things. It was just TV media rights and also just, you know, who are we truly, truly, truly going to compete with?
Those TV media rights, man, they are.
We're talking, it's not in the millions no more, everybody. It's in the billions.
Billions.
We're talking billions
of dollars.
And we're not talking about like no regular 1.2 bill. No, we're talking like five. We're talking five.
You can't blame these schools for wanting to go through with that. You cannot.
And now you got teams like, what's it called? And now you got like Notre Dame is one to really, really look at. So Notre Dame is still independent, right? But they play like an ACC schedule, basically. Notre Dame basically has they own their own rights, so that's why NBC is the only one that they basically
they televise.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, if Notre Dame were to flex and be like, okay, we want to go to the ACC, that could save the ACC.
It really could.
But if they wanted to go to like a team like the Big Ten, oh boy. I'm telling you, it's only going to be three conferences after that.
No,
it's only
it really
the Big 12,
be.
The Big Ten, and the SEC.
Yeah, ain't nobody getting rid of the SEC ever.
Oh, yeah, no.
Big Ten and Big 12.
As long as Bama and Georgia are there, you ain't going nowhere.
You're fine.
You ain't going
fine.
Nowhere.
You're fine.
But
goodness. But yeah, this is wild what's happening.
Yeah, no. If you are getting into college football, if you love college football like I do, or me and my cousin do, I say, you know, try to keep up on this because a lot will be moving in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already starting, you know, next season with everything coming into play with, you know, the teams moving in, USC and UCLA moving in to the Big Ten, and then Texas and Oklahoma moving into the SEC. So, yes, these things are moving, and they're moving fast, and also with the expanding of the college football playoffs, too.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, no, we're going to be in for a rocky ride.
We're in for a treat.
Yeah.
It's going to be rocky. It's going to be a little rough, but it's going to be fun. Once it settles, it's going to be a wild ride.
Oh, man.
Can't wait.
And I can't wait either.
Can't wait.
But that is our time with you guys for the week. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate that. And, you know, we'll be back next week with more craziness with...
Hey, you know, we got football from now until February, brother. We back. We got football. I can't wait.
Life feels a little better now.
Yes.
A little more complete again.
Life is good, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Later. Have a good one.